And welcome back to another exciting episode of Packs of the Future. And we have a fabulous, fabulous short. Dan is back. Dan's going to give us and introduce everybody for us. The short is called It's About Time. Welcome the three people. They're going to be introducing themselves in a second. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm Dan Herzog, the writer, director, and cinematographer behind It's About Time. Here we have...
My name is Alani, and I'm the lead actress.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Ghana. I produced the short film, It's About Time.
That's it.
So, I gotta say, this was not what I expected from your first film.
Okay,
you totally threw me a different loop, which is fabulous. I like people taking chances. Thank you for that. So let's start off with that. How does it feel to be in this? I mean, you are the star of this thing. You are 24/7 on the screen doing things.
Well, I think it's good for my career. I think if I really want to be an actress, it's good like to be on screen, and also it's just really fun to like work on set and stuff.
Oh, we kind of asked you more questions. That seemed like a very pitched answer ahead of time that somebody set you up for. It's a good try, though. I'll give you that. You say it was really fun to be on set. Why be an actor? You could be a veterinarian. You could be a baseball player. You could be a gymnast. Or you could be a podcaster or an influencer. Why an actor?
I think because like as an actress, you can do like so many different things by just being like one person, you know? Like you could pretend to be like a scientist when you're really just acting. And I feel like it's more like enjoyable to like experience like different things.
Well, then you're trying to become a podcaster too. You know how many films I get to watch a year? I get to experience everything throughout a year. So you do have options.
There you go.
So when you're on set, how do you take direction? I mean, you are 9. I think you're 9 according to the notes. Maybe you're 10 now. How do you take the directions and your pointers? I mean, nothing personal. You don't have a lot of life experience yet. And this, I don't know if this is your first role or not. I honestly didn't look it up. So I'm just asking, how well do you take direction to start?
Well, he's my dad, so it's like, but I mean, I thought that I wouldn't get like what he's saying and like not understand what to do, but I feel like I actually kind of like understood like what the directions were and like how to do it. I think it's just, I don't know.
Fair enough answer. So, Dad, how is it to direct your daughter? I mean, you're used to having people going, yep, I gotcha. That's what I need. That's what I want. Now you gotta be nice.
I don't think we said that's what we would do. Well, the cool thing was she had a little bit part in Dating Audrey, the one you saw a couple years back.
I have seen you before, but you didn't show up for your interview.
Right, exactly. She was not in our interview. She had a small bit part in the movie we made after that called Domino Springs. But really, this past summer, she got interested a bit more in it, and we put her in a couple of commercials. She's one of the little grade school J.G. Wentworth Vikings. We did a commercial called Grade School Musical with that jingle. And then I thought, you know, if she really wants a shot at this, we should put her in a more substantial role. And so I came up with this, dusted off this old script and sort of updated it from the lead was a 9-year-old boy back when I wrote it, Justin. I said, you know what? I have a 9, 10-year-old and I just put an E on the end. So it's perfect for, you know, her to play Justine. And so directing her, I mean, we did a little bit of rehearsing ahead of time. We talked about the scenes in advance and just, you know, what the emotion of it was and how difficult it would be. And, you know, it was a little bit of us kind of making an investment and rolling the dice to see if she could do it. And, you know, I put her through the ringer, I'd say, with the rain and the cold and the nights. And so I was blown away that, you know, she took direction pretty much like any young actor. She talked back a little bit like any young actor might. But other than that, we were, you know, we tried to keep it all professional. And I think she did a pretty good job. But, you know, the results are in front of us on screen forever.
So, Mom, how do you handle this? Do you enjoy watching this process? I mean, you're more a producer. I mean, I know you're set aside, but you must be there every day to watch this.
Yeah, I was the producer, so I have to prepare everything. And now my director asked me, we will have a rain. So try to find the rain. We shot in the end of the October, first week of the November last year, which is very cold in Pennsylvania. And the rain scene was like in the night. So we asked the fire, local fire department came in with the two big fire truck and making the rain for us almost 2 hours. And it was a cold, it was winter. I had my winter jacket on and I was cold. But I put our little girl through the that water, standing there, keep doing one more again, and I felt as a mom, even as a producer, I felt very bad because it was very cold. Between the take, we have a few towels, few big blanket wrap around, and then I was okay, next. Again. So it was hard, but it was also very nice working with our young daughter, being becoming actress. We worked a few times, especially on a commercial with another kids, but this one is solely her role, and it was adventurous, and also it was like, nerve-wracking as a mother. Putting our daughter, but it became very successful because she did everything. She did awesomely great job.
So, how was going to the giant? I guess it's a mansion. It looks like an abandoned mansion. I would do like a little bit more about that. Is this place abandoned or like a movie studio, or did you set dress it? I do have a lot of questions about just that.
That it's a real per someone lives there. It's a real mansion, historic mansion, in fact, in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania, north of Allentown. And the man that lives there was very gracious in letting us into his home. We didn't have to set dress a lot, which was kind of what I loved about it, from the living room and dining room, throw some sheets over some furniture, which actually worked for the period. And
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, so we it was just kind of like you just get lucky and the stars align. I was referred to that neighborhood, and there's a row of mansions for another house that had been converted into apartments, so that wouldn't work. And I was just walking the neighborhood, and I was like, "Hey, what about this one?" And so we live in South Jersey, and so I sent our friends, our co-producers, by to knock on the guy's door. And the funniest story is, they went week 2 weekends in a row, and then the after that, I got a message on LinkedIn. The gentleman tracked me down because our crew was wearing in the wee hours tees,
Ah.
and he found me on LinkedIn and said,
It was
"Are
on
these
screen.
people? Yeah, on the Ring camera." Are these people, associated with you? I said, "Oh yes, we've been trying to reach you," and so on and so forth. So we started our relationship over LinkedIn, and Troy is his name, and he's been just an absolute dream to work with. A very gracious host. We try and take care of our locations, leave him better than we found him, and would love to shoot, in his house again. It's a beautiful. I mean, you've only seen maybe not even half of it. There's
Oh, wow.
leaps and bounds
Many
more.
beautiful places. Yeah,
Okay,
ruins.
now, so when you first turn your shot, we see, I guess, sneaking in through a basement window. Is that
Yes.
the same property?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Different window. There's a little sleight of hand there.
I thought there might be.
On the outside, she goes through one window, and the inside, she comes through another. We were hoping people wouldn't really notice, but good eye.
You know what I'm like. I watch way too much stuff. I really do, not to look for things.
But yeah, that it was the other one that I wanted to use was up against the exterior stairway, I guess, is why we couldn't access it.
Okay, let's just go over some locations for fun. Now, what's your favorite location? Do you have a favorite one? I did write down Forest House, Beach, Carnival. Any of those your favorite?
What is your favorite?
Oh, well, my favorite is probably the carnival. I feel like the carnival was the most fun because, I mean, it's a carnival, you know? It's gonna be fun. And even though I wasn't like really like going on rides, I was still kind of like doing stuff in the carnival. And I felt like that was really fun. And it just like actually looked like really like good. It was.
I would say that I think because we were able to get Bushkill Park from the beginning, that was really such an important, because I was talking to Ghana about like, hey, let's track down some traveling carnivals and see when they're going to be closing up. And it would have been logistically a much more challenging shoot. But when we were able to get Bushkill Park and the Fun House, literally like the weekend after Halloween, it was really what really helped us set our schedule and make it all come together. And I remember that fun house, like I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we had similar amusement parks that are long since gone. And we're so happy that Bushkill Park has survived and 123 years, something like that. That was really, really important for the story, I thought.
So let's get back to that. We'll go to the carnival. I really thought it took a dark turn in the carnival. It was very dark, and I would almost say evil looking. At least I perceived it. I mean, I think that's what we were going for, though. And I mean, your little star seemed to be fine during it, other than moving rather quickly, I will add. Because I did think you had a sense of urgency while you were there.
Yeah, that the scary salesman, I think, kind of kicks it off, and you're on the run from then.
So, how cold was the beach?
Each day, it was I think 40 something. Yes, we had a base camp, and I have to put the two heater up there, because we had the base camp as a park, and the park bench stuff like that. I had the two heater from both sides, and everybody wearing winter coat,
Yeah,
so it was
pretty cold.
40. Maybe 41, 42, somewhere like that. And of course, it's very windy.
Yeah, that was the challenge.
So that's that makes you more cold.
Now, is the forest near the house, or is that totally separate location?
Totally separate.
Separate.
Yeah. So we were fortunate in a sense. Well, she has fall break every year, the first week of November off. So we were able to shoot, 5 out of 6 days in a row. And so we had a little bit of luxury traveling, from like, one day in Cape May, the next day's outside of Philadelphia. The Wissahickon Park was the forest with the Spoon Man. And so we did a couple of scenes there. Her under the bridge, the Spoon Man jumping through the frame. And that was part of a day. And then we finished that day in Lancaster, right?
Lancaster,
Yeah.
yes, as a strong
Stoutenburg Village for
bridge.
the snake scene and then the rain scene. So it was, close by locations, but really it was just all logistically what was doable within, our typical 12-hour day. Well, and less with kids. So her on-camera time was obviously limited by child labor laws.
No.
Even if it's your own kid, are you limited by child labor laws?
Well, yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure I'm going to say
I have
that on
no
the
idea.
recording. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never looked into it.
Have
Two things I want to.
to follow the child labor law, state of New Jersey and state of Pennsylvania, because two location was in state of New Jersey and rest of them state of Pennsylvania, and all the child get the work permit, and we accordingly the law. And the timing, everything.
Was the Spoon Man cast for his ability to play spoons?
No, that's funny. Originally, I was casting him for his look, but I asked him to please learn to play the spoons. I think there were two or three actors that I asked that, and he was by far the one that actually learned it the best. So it was a combination of it started with a look. And I had something a little different in mind, but he ended up just like kind of killing it with the spoons. I mean, it's a tough ask. Like, I don't even know how to play the spoons.
No, I have no idea. Not a clue. So I was
But you
just
learn,
like,
you can learn amazing things on YouTube, it seems.
it is. We didn't have that when I first started this show. It really didn't
Right?
exist. The frame. Now, I know it's, I presume it's CGI frame all the time as she goes through. There must be some frame you did go through at one point.
Correct. Like there's a empty picture frame that she does go through the first time in the attic, and then the rest we put like black, duvetyne, black cloth in the frame. And yeah, on the beach actually she walks, she steps through that frame on the
Correct.
beach as well without the
Yes.
black. Yeah. So there was some wasn't stunts per se, but there was definitely some, I try to do as much as we can in camera. That's kind of something I'm like trying my best to do. But yeah, there's some CG in here for
Yeah, well,
sure.
you already took away one of my questions. The rain scene, I was going to ask with CGI because I could not figure out how you did rain, but your lovely wife told me that earlier. The pocket
Exactly.
watch. Does it say it's about time in it, or is that CGI'd?
No, that we put in VFX. We were gonna have it engraved, but there just wasn't enough time
I
by the
was
time I got
wondering
the
that.
watch.
'Cause I'm, so,
Yeah.
whose pocket watch is this? Is it an old family heirloom or something you bought?
No, actually, so right after I read the script, and we're gonna do this, and one day New Hope, what is that, the city?
Lambertville, across the river.
Lambertville, I think we had the movie premiere, and we went to the antique store, and I saw that watch. I had something in my head, like, want to look for that watch, but I saw it, and I told Dan, I really like this watch. I think this is the right one. And he looked at, maybe too busy because that front, and then he's like, oh, maybe. So we looked that it was very expensive, and we said, okay. But we put it in there, and we were looking for another one. But we get back to there, and I think that was the right watch. And he's like, okay, we're gonna put in here, it's about time, and this and that. And we did, but we, as he said, we didn't have a time to engrave it. But we still have the watch, it works.
Well, that's good to know. You still have to watch. I would like to
Yeah.
think it's something to always remember your film by. Now, being a family affair film, I know you never have disagreements, but if someone happened to have a disagreement on set, meaning a daughter, a producer, a director, how has that worked out amicably, knowing you all have to go home together?
That's a great question. I think yeah, that is a great question. Like I
Yeah.
remember it doesn't usually happen on set. So by the time we get to set, we're executing. She did have a cop an attitude once or twice, but like I pull her aside like I would with anyone and try to be professional about it in that environment. But like I know I got a little resistance when I'm like I very much want a snake. And Ghana is like deathly afraid of snakes, I guess, and so
Uh-oh.
she didn't want to find one. I'm like, this its script requires a snake. I'm sorry, I have a guy. You call the guy and have him bring the snake, and we're doing the snake. And that little things like that.
Yeah, 'cause I grew up scared of snake. I never seen snake in my real life. I even cannot watch it on TV. When I have a snake on TV, I close my eye or I try to go. It just makes me scared. And when he said he needs real snake, and on the script it was real snake, and the lady had the leash around the snake and holding it. She's in the front, and no, snake is in front and she's in behind, but it's like almost dog, but the snake. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I was hoping it's gonna be CGI, and he's like, no, I need to have a real snake, real Ren, this and that. So he gave me the person, and I call him, and I said, do you have a snake? And he said he wants the biggest one, but the biggest one I want. So I said, do you have the big snake? And we wanted this. And he said, yeah, I do have a few of them. Which one would you like? Oh, biggest one is the what we wanted. And he said, yeah. And I have a very silly question. Can we have the snake dish round, then my actress will just hold it, but the snake will be in the front and she will just walk. And he's like, no. And I was afraid that, we're gonna hurt the snake. And I said, oh, okay, I understand. But that was in our script, but I was just want to ask. And he said, and he laughed at me and said, yeah, if could, I can. But like when you leash something in a snake and like it just go away, like
It'll
it's not
just slide
gonna
out.
leash, like it's gonna slide out. So I think it's pretty impossible. I said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But he was very nice, and their snake is trained. A lot of times, take it to kids' birthday parties, stuff like that. And somehow, I was next to the snake. I saw it. I didn't scare, so I don't have any fear from snake anymore. So that's one good thing came from the movie for me.
Oh, you just left it open. Are you gonna watch Anaconda now?
I suspect she might not.
Yeah.
She thinks she's not afraid, but yeah.
Because I'm saying Anaconda's up for me. Right, that'll be the first film I'd be putting on for you. Let's find out.
right, I'll make sure we watch it before our next chat with you, and we'll
Oh.
report back.
The windmill, is that real or is that just stock footage?
No, it is partially real. There is a windmill that looks similar to that doesn't function. It is in Milford, New Jersey. People didn't want me, they didn't want credit, they didn't want people coming by thinking it was real. It was destroyed by a Hurricane Sandy, and so
Oh,
the base is there, but
no
the
blade.
blades are gone, and we put those in visual effects. So the blades in the balcony around it are no longer. But I saw it. Honestly, when I wrote the script, I dream up all this crazy stuff, and I thought that would be absolutely one of the hardest locations for us to find. And it was actually a quick Google search, windmills in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. It was like one of the easiest to find, and they were super nice, in terms of permission and letting us shoot there. It was only like 2 hours we were there, and so it was great, and we had perfect weather, as you could see. And yeah, we just did it in visual effects, the blades turning, and tried to make it as creepy as it could.
You love the creepiness. It's totally there. Elaine, how often do you have to read the script? I mean, obviously you're being cast. I get that. You're working with your family. But do you like study your script or you read it the day before or do you memorize it? How does that
Well,
work for you?
the week, like a few days before we were started shooting, me and my dad, we just started like just reading lines back and forth because I don't have many like dialogue lines. So we would just like read back and forth, and with like the face expressions and all that, like walking, I felt good with those, so I didn't really practice them. I just read over the script like a few times, and then I just practiced my lines with him.
So, in a future film of your with your parents, do you want more dialogue?
I mean that would help me, but also it's hard to memorize, but like sure, I would like that. That would be good.
Well, there you go. I do have another question for us. We have both your parents here that's on camera, so they can't lie to us. When they were serving you lunch on set, did you get what you liked?
Yeah, I think so because I think I was maybe the priority here. So, I did get very yummy food. Thank you guys.
Have you got to attend a premiere yet?
Yes, we have.
So we had a great turnout at our private cast and crew screening at the Frank Banco Alehouse Cinemas in Allentown, where a lot of our crew is from. So we did it up there. We're super looking forward to our Philly premiere at First Glance in the beginning of May. But and th that will be more of a public affair, red carpet, whatever. But I think, yeah, it was great to see this movie on the big screen. I mean, it's a world of difference. It really is.
Oh, I always. I do watch a lot of films on. I mean, I have a 42 upstairs, I have a 75 in the basement. There's a huge difference, even in sports. I can
Yeah,
see the difference. So,
absolutely.
okay, now I'm going to wind this down a tiny bit, but I do have a few questions. Dan should have prepped you for this, Jenna. I hope he did because he knows them from last time, but they're always changed slightly. So only two of you have to answer the first question because Dan's already answered it. What's your favorite film?
Me? Oh.
Yeah.
I think probably The Hunger Games, like the first one. I feel like it's just such a good like concept and idea. I also read all of the Hunger Games books, so I definitely like that movie. I think the cinematography was like really good and the music was really good.
What's your favorite
Jenna?
movie?
My favorite movie is Bodyguard, Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston. I was a little young kid and I grew up in Mongolia. So we didn't have that much chance to watch American movies. And I watched the movie and somehow I had the VHS tape in our house and I watch and I love to hear music of Whitney Houston and of course crush on Kevin Costner.
Okay, question number two. Since I was told she had yummy food, what was your favorite on-set meal?
On the beach day, we did get Wawa, and my favorite order from Wawa is a pepperoni and cheese hoagie. And it's like, it was so warm and just delicious, and I love that. Yeah.
Wow, I don't
Jenna,
even remember.
your
Yeah,
favorite
go.
on-food meal?
I am. Don't remember, but very first day when we were in Catasauqua, we had a first meal lunch was from Dominican Republic restaurant, and it was yummy. I don't remember. I think I was the first time I'm eating food like that. Usually on set, we have to be most of the time easy food, but that food was good. But I don't really remember what else we had.
I typically don't eat lunch.
Oh yeah,
So
he doesn't eat lunch when he was working. So for
I
me, it's
understand.
saving one lunch money as a producer is very important. Just kidding.
Exactly.
Okay, you can drop out of the last question if you don't want to answer this because you may not have an answer. I need one film you recommend to people because they've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's about
Come on, you must have seen some DComs. There must be something there I haven't heard of.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Oh, have you heard of the Hail Mary? Not Project Hail Mary, the Hail Mary.
I've no, it's on IMDb, but I have not seen it, no.
Okay.
That's a really good one.
We've
Yeah.
seen it twice. I happen to be the cinematographer with Danny Roebuck is the director and star, and it's a great family film. Highly recommend it. And I'm not just saying that because I worked on it, but
No, of course you are.
Okay,
I would. Alain, this
well.
is your big chance to shine. I'm going to give you the last words if you can do it correctly. Where everybody can find your work.
Well.
Where can they find? Oh, our YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Wait, everybody.
What? Oh.
In the weehours.com.
Yeah.
Yes,
Is
and
that where
anybody
dated
else?
is it dating Audrey? I can't remember. Being
Dating
Audrey,
Audrey, very
dating
good. That's
Audrey. I'm
so all of
trying to go back a couple of years in my
it
head.
is. It's crazy. I appreciate you doing this again. But yeah, the first three or four shorts we did are on our YouTube channel. So youtube.com slash at symbol in the wee hours. And that is Snow's Always White or Dating Audrey, Domino Springs. There's even one of our more recent projects called the Series 10K available for free.
Awesome. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
You too.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much.